Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. Welcome in, friends, to the best damn pop culture podcast in the universe, in the galaxy, in the multiverse, in the Speed Force, even the Spider-Verse. You're tuned in to the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. What's going on, good brother?
Everything's good. How's it going over there?
Everything appears to be everything good, brother. What do you have lined up for us on this edition of the Quarantine Files?
So on today's episode, we're going to take a break from movies, TV, and wrestling, and we're going to go into video games, and that's something that we do a lot on this network, at least you do. I don't play a lot of video games anymore. The two lists we're going to do really show the amount of video games I play, because these next two video game lists that we're going to do, the first one is going to be Nintendo characters, and Nintendo holds a very special place in my heart because it's my favorite company, it's my favorite video game brand, it's probably... I still have a 3DS. I'll still pull out the GameCube and 64 to play. So today we're going to do top five Nintendo characters.
In your opinion, what makes a great Nintendo proper character?
Their sense of innocence, but yet a sense of storytelling over a 30-year span, I think, for me, is what makes a good Nintendo character. How they play in all these games, like the way I used it, is how they play in Mario Party and Mario Racing, or in Smash Brothers, or even their standalone titles have to be at least somewhat decent. But as innocent as they are, there is a sense of character growth throughout the games, and I think that's going to show up on both our list of, as goofy as it is very well-written and well-developed over the years.
Let's not wait any longer. Let's start off with our top five Nintendo characters, and I will start off with my number five pick, the one, the only, the OG himself, Super Mario. Now, there's not much else you could say. I mean, he is the most iconic of iconic characters on all video games. You talk about innocence. You talk about notoriety. You talk about aestheticness. He kind of implements that all. Every character since Super Mario World, since the original Mario, has tried to make this character up, right? And when you think about it, it's just a short, little Italian chubby guy with a mustache. Yet, we have put that as the personification of innocence. As much as Bugs Bunny, as much as Mickey Mouse, Mario is an icon beyond his genre. That's when you can tell somebody has hit a different level of fame. Is when they're not when they're no longer the spokesperson of whatever genre they are. When they get beyond that and they're promoting Pepsi and Coke and amusement parks and movies. And to me, Mario is that. Can he be anybody's number one? Of course. It's an easy give. It's like Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse. But to me, he's my number five, purely off of I've been blessed, and so have you, to be have so many great characters in Nintendo history. But that first system, when that Famicom, that original Nintendo came out, for all those kids in the 80s, Super Mario, Jumpman, changed the way they thought video games could ever be. We went from Pitman, from Pitfall, to this. I think easily Mario is the number five greatest Nintendo character of all time.
Yeah, obviously I love Mario and he's the reason we're even doing this list. I think the reason it makes your list so low and it doesn't make mine is because Mario's so just solid in everything that I think on this list of fun, whimsical characters and open world games, he kind of just stands out as almost aside. Like, he invented it all and he's the original and you always show your appreciation, but at the end of the day, you like other characters more, you feel more connected to other characters. I feel like Mario has the least amount of character growth, and maybe that's because it started off so hot and it stands the test of time, but you don't see a lot of growth in a Mario character, and I think that's why it's not a lot higher on our list.
And Mario, more than anybody else in the video game world, his video games, his character himself, he's comfort food. He's soul food. He reminds you of home. He's nostalgia. Even though his quality has never went down, the Nintendo company has never allowed a Mario game to be bad quality. But the thing is, it's a easy game. It's an easy character. It's friendly. It's universal. And I think for anybody, that's why it's kind of the Superman of video games. It's really easy to not like, but you have to give him his respect and that character respect and everything Shigeru Miyamoto did for that character. But with that in mind, good brother, I had the heavy hitter of Super Mario at number 5. Who do you have at number 5?
So I took one of my favorite characters that I learned from Smash Brothers, and then I kind of learned about him with Star Fox. And I started off in the original Super Smash Brothers, and he was one of my favorite characters to use. And then you find out about his newer 64 game, and it does space fighting, probably the best out of any game at that time, besides Star Wars, I would say. Those were the two space fighting games that kind of revolutionized it. He's got such an interesting backstory. I like that he had a father, he learned from him, he passed away, and now he has this new young team of fighter pilots, very much like a Top Gun feel, these cool fighter pilots against this other team of fighter pilots, and I like that story. I like that, obviously, they're all fun little animals with humanoid bodies and robot legs. So he's just very kooky. At the same time, it's a very serious and well-known adventure storyline, like an Indiana Jones or a James Bond, where his upbringing turned him into a super fighter pilot. Now he has a team against another team, and that's so simple yet so charming and fun, I think.
And it's funny you say that, good brother, because Fox McCloud from Star Fox himself is my number 4 favorite character in Perfect. Nintendo. For it, everything you just said, I mean, he has the caricature, he has the story arc that we're always looking for in a hero in a modern day sense, right? We have the protege of him learning from his father, but his father losing his life because of betrayal from Wolf. And there's just a lot of greatness that is in that story. There's a little bit of Hamlet, a little bit of Macbeth, a little bit of Star Wars in it. It does have some of the greatest gameplay you'll ever have, especially in the Nintendo 64. Star Fox 64 is one of the most fun dogfight games you'll ever play, other than the Star Wars game that you mentioned, good brother. And if for nothing else, the way the puppetries were, where we would see that little puppet mask of Fox talking. And, you know, there's a coolness factor to Fox McCloud, unlike a lot of different characters. And you have to admit, Nintendo did a great job in the late 80s, early 90s, between this and, like, let's say F-Zero X, where they made really cool-looking futuristic characters. And here's the one thing, though, right? It wasn't just Fox McCloud. They not only hit on that and what Super Smash Bros. Did, that video game franchise and the way those puppets were made in the original one, Falco is such a huge character. And that's not by accident. That's because when you're looking at them, they look cool. They look like toys you would want to have. They look like something you would want to be if you were drawn in animation. Fox kind of brings that all together. He's just a badass canine, and there's nothing better than a good boy.
No, I completely agree, and I think that's why I think he made both our lists, because he's just, we love Star Wars, and this is Star Wars S. He's Han Solo of animals in Nintendo, basically.
But if Fox was my number 4, and he was your number 5, that means you have a new one to bring to the list. Who did you have next?
I guess this would be my controversial pick. I pick Luigi, and the reason I think the difference between Luigi and Mario is, first of all, Luigi's taller, he's more powerful, he has a better moveset, but at the same time, you've seen Luigi grow from kind of a coward and alone in these sports games and these Luigi Mansion games, which Luigi's Mansion is probably some of the best video games Nintendo's put out recently, and I think it's 3 perfect games, and that's a lot for one character that's a side character of anything. I have a soft spot for him when you and me used to play Super Mario 3 and we would take turns. Obviously, the second player gets to play as Luigi. So growing up, I always had a soft spot for him. And then you learn that he's kind of come into his own in the recent years. And he's kind of that underdog character that everyone seems to like now. And personally, that's why he made my list and Mario didn't, because you've seen growth. And Luigi Mansions 1, 2, and 3 are some of my favorite video games throughout the Nintendo consoles.
It's funny to say we really don't see this a lot in the Mushroom Kingdom characters specifically. Not necessarily all of Nintendo, but the Mushroom Kingdom characters, they've done a job of really not doing a lot of character growth. I would argue that the only person that's had more growth than Luigi is Bowser. But Luigi, aesthetically, and even in his voice work, has had the most growth. And he also has a lot of, like, little nuance and funniness to Luigi. You can tell that Nintendo likes messing with him from the meme of Mario Kart where we see him doing the side eye. And, you know, and you obviously know they love him because they give him funny things to say, like, oh, yeah, or Mario. Like, they give
Mario!
Him Mario. Like, they give him a lot of fun things to do. And I think that's the real – hell, they love him enough where they made an entire year the year of Luigi. And, you know, there's something kind of cool about the little brother, the second brother, who got really famous too and will always kind of have the edge of being in the shadow, but they've done a great job of embracing that. I think he's not a lovable loser. He's a badass. He's really cool. But they do a great job of also being like, yeah, but because Super Mario just happens to be his brother, that's how cool this guy is, that we can make him look like a kind of a dork sometimes. And he's still one of the most awesome characters we have in our whole lineup.
And we talk about video games itself, like their actual games they're playing in. The Luigi's Mansion games are such a random hidden gem. And the newest one obviously did a lot of money for the Nintendo Switch. But I think it goes back to, it's something Mario couldn't make work when they did Mario Sunshine, which was great. I loved it. But they decided not to keep going forward, giving him gadgets like that. You give it to Luigi here, and it's a ghost fighting game at the end of the day. And I think that's so interesting. Nintendo, that's their scariest safe game. And there is a lot of cool stuff in there. And I love the fact that we see your most scared character being the hero in a ghost mansion. He's a Ghostbuster. And I think that's maybe why you and me enjoy it so much.
And it's a great, great one to put on your list. But at number three, good brother, I have the leader of the bunch. You know him well. He's finally back to kick some tail. His coconut gun can fire in spurts. If he shoots you, it's gonna hurt. He's bigger, faster, and stronger too. He's the first member of the DK crew, Donkey Kong himself. The bad guy in the newest Punch-Out game. He's the original bad guy. He's a big gorilla inspired by King Kong. He's had one of the best games in Donkey Kong 64. You could tell that he's awesome, calm, cool, and collective. And again, who doesn't want to be friends with King Kong?
No, I completely agree. The only reason I must say is because Donkey makes my list a lot higher. And correction, it was actually Cranky Kong that was the original Kong in the Mario games. Donkey would be his grandson.
Great call.
And Donkey Kong Jr. is his father.
Well, great call, comic book guy. But you are absolutely correct. It is Cranky Kong that is the the original Donkey Kong. And speaking of Cranky Kong, you do see him, to me, what's arguably one of the best games in all the Super Nintendo. You know how much I'm a Super Nintendo stan, obviously. And you know how much I love my Super Nintendo classic, the Mini. Arguably, other than Super Mario World, the best game to ever hit the Super Nintendo are Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3. These are games that hold up to this day. These are movesets that make sense. These are scenarios that make sense. They're lovable. And if nothing else, no other character that we've seen in the Nintendo lineup has had the CGI treatment of having a cartoon show. A lot of these shows have had cartoon shows. Obviously, the Super Mario Hour. Obviously, we had the Nintendo Power Hour thing that they did. We even had our little pink ball friend have his own show. But Donkey Kong was the only one that they invested in computer animation. And that goes to show what they think about this IP. What they thought about this IP. Now, I think it's a little tougher now to make a series about him live action. But if you're telling me right now that Netflix had the right to make a 12-episode season of Donkey Kong Adventures, it would not be one of the most highest rated things on this list. And it has to do with Donkey Kong is just a lovable goofball.
I agree with you. And I think there's three characters, Kirby, Donkey Kong, and Mario, that were so big to Nintendo that they grew their own universe, and Link, obviously, and all that. But I'm more talking about these guys that show up in Smash Brothers. Donkey Kong, I would put number two on that list of, after Mario, Donkey Kong is really the one they're like, we're going to create a universe with you. Like, yeah, Link gets a lot of games, so does Kirby, but we're going to build a family around you. We're going to build different genre of games around you. You're going to be your own thing. Like, you're going to show up a lot more without Mario and these other characters than a lot of other people, and your side characters are going to get their own games and things to do. And I think that's so fascinating. Again, it's a lot higher on my list. I personally love everything about the Kong family.
And I'm glad you mentioned it. You get the Kong family with Donkey, but I know you're going to gush over one of our favorite tribes in video games. So we'll move on to your number three, good brother.
So my number three, I think, would be the number four on that list after Link and Donkey Kong is Kirby. And I love Kirby. We had all the games from the Game Boy games to the Super Nintendo to the 64. And obviously, he's such a cool character that, you know, it's awesome that he can absorb a power and use it, then get rid of it. At the same time, he can combine two powers. And I think he's got some fun bad guys with King Dedede and Meta Knight and, you know, the reverse Kirbys and all that stuff. And he had a really fun cartoon on Fox that, you know, we watched and we loved. It was very much like the Sonic one where it was a little faster paced in that animation style. Kirby's so big that Kirby gets a lot of his own games still. And not a lot of these Nintendo characters do, like Metroid, we haven't seen in a while, or Star Fox. Kirby, you're going to see almost every other year, if not every year, in some sort of form. And let's not forget, Kirby kind of started the pinball phase, which Sonic then overtook.
And obviously the creator of Kirby is also the creator of Super Smash Brothers. So there's that lineage there. Without Kirby, we don't get this series that has taken over the fighting game world. I think aesthetically, it's colorful. It's easy games to play, so kids can beat them. They don't get so frustrated. The creativity of Kirby is really what really sets it apart. Every Nintendo game is creative, colorful in their own way, friendly in their own way. Kirby was one where it's a coloring book come to life. And you've seen it over the years when other characters have kind of taken over that mantle. For a new generation, Yoshi was the version of Kirby moving forward because he got the Woolly World and whatnot. But Kirby, for the longest time, was that character where Nintendo wanted to get the family in, wanted to get the 7-year-old in. What's the way we could do that? Well, let's give him a game where you got this cute little thing who has unlimited power, who really can't die, and has this cosmic adventure. I think he's the ultimate storybook, fun, little oddball hero.
No, I agree. And I think colorful is the best way to put it. He's one of the most colorful characters in a colorful universe.
Now, at number 2, good brother, I have arguably one of the coolest characters, not only in video games, but in all pop culture. A character that was ahead of their time. A character that stands the test of time. A character that has had games that will go down in history as some of the best artificial simulations that you can play in history. I'm talking about the one, the only, Samus Aran. What can you say about one of the first female-led characters that Nintendo gave us? What can you say about a video game that makes you have to go through a steep learning curve, but it's rewarding? It's a game that, without voice acting, without these computer animations that we're seeing in these great systems of PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and the Nintendo Switch, that you felt like you were Ripley lost in space in an Aliens movie. You had great bad guys like the Metroid, the Mother Brain, and obviously with Ridley. So, to me, you can't have a conversation about Nintendo characters, important Nintendo characters, than what Samus was. And I guess we're having fun because it's video games, and that's what's great. Like, we gotta have conversations like these are real people, but they've made such an impact in pop culture. And for girls, and even young men that finished Super Metroid, and at the end when we see it's a woman, there's an impact to that that I don't think really gets, that got spoken up for the longest time, but really isn't appreciated as much as it should, of how important this character is in the same lineup as Fox McCloud, as Luigi, as Mario, as Donkey Kong, as Peach, as Toad. This character comes from a bounty hunter in an alien series with a female-led character. There is nobody like Samus.
I think you say it right there where Samus might have been ahead of her time, honestly. And I think had Samus come out or was still coming out with fantastic games, she would hit a lot better right now. I think it was ahead of its time. And at the time where it could have really struck gold, it kind of dropped the ball. And that's why Samus doesn't make my list. But I understand why it does make someone's list.
And obviously, we have to talk about the character design of Samus. We've only really done this for Fox. But to me, Samus is such an important character design, right? Because they don't sexualize her. She's just a badass looking Boba Fett meets Master Chief. And think about how important Samus' character design is to video games moving forward. The visor, the see-through green, the big armor, the cannon gun. All these different things. You can see the correlation between Master Chief and Samus. And like, that's not by accident.
No, again, really cool. Again, not one of my personal favorites for the pure fact I just think it never hit when it needed to. But everything you're saying is correct.
Then who did you have at number 2, good brother?
These top two were really hard for me, but I put my number 2, I put Yoshi. what's there really to say? He comes in every color. He's the best sidekick in the history of gaming, I'd say. He's the only sidekick where you worry more about him than the protagonist, actually. He's got cool powers. He can lay eggs. He's good at Smash Brothers. He can drive a car. He's got his own island. He saved Baby Mario. I have two plushes upstairs in my collection as is. What more can you say? He's one of the most known Nintendo characters that I think it's just, who doesn't love a Yoshi?
Who doesn't want a pet dinosaur? And that's what it really comes down to, is Yoshi's just a pet dinosaur. And that is the best thing ever. He's a little T-Rex. And we talk about character design. He was made for people to love. He was made for us to want to hold him and squeeze him and protect him and give him all the treats, give him all the pets. Yoshi is the greatest side character ever, who just so happened to be so beloved. And I think more than anything, people always put themselves in certain scenarios. And then we've all imagined once or twice jumping on a Yoshi back and riding around a little dinosaur.
Yeah, and again, like, he's just so sellable. Like, everyone had a plush thing. Everyone had the posters if you were a Nintendo fan. Everyone wanted to play it as him. And it's so interesting to see him. You know, he never gets angry or aggressive necessarily, but he's also not soft. Like, you don't look at him as, like, a little puny dinosaur. You look like, oh, no, Yoshi can hold his own. Yoshi's a... It could be for boys and for girls. You know what I mean?
And that's a big thing too. It was loved by both boys and girls. It didn't matter. Like, it's so sellable and it's so marketable, but it's also video game friendly. You know what I'm saying? Like, video gamers don't think of this as like some type of shill thing. They think of this as, yeah, that's Yoshi. Like, there's no better moment in video games than when you hit that box and that little egg pops up. And then it cracks open, and you get a Yoshi. There's not many more gratifying or satisfying things in video games than hatching a Yoshi egg.
Exactly, and the fact that it comes in every single color you can imagine, just, it gives you so much more for the imagination.
And speaking of imagination, good brother, we are finally down to our top picks. And at number one, we're going to Hyrule Field. My number one pick is one of the pieces of the Triforce, and arguably the most cinematic video game Nintendo has ever done. Arguably the most marketable video game that's ever been done. Arguably the most wanted video game to movie television adaptation. I'm talking about The Legend of Zelda's Link, the architectural hero. From rags to riches, to save the princess, to go on an adventure, to overcoming all your fears, to overcoming all your challenges. What Samus Aran did in space and for women, Link did for kids that were creative, that lived in their head. That's what Zelda meant. That's what Link means as a character. These games are grand adventures. They're Harry Potter. They're Lord of the Rings. They're the Avengers. You get to ride a horse and take out a sword and fight goblins and take out the sorcerer's wizard and save the princess. But the princess doesn't really need your help because she's a badass and she's got her own army. And you got to lead this army to save the king and save the kingdom. Every video game since the first Legend of Zelda has tried to pick up that shield and sword, to carry that Triforce, and have not been able to do it. Zelda, Link, that entire series, that character is my number one.
I really do love the entire Zelda franchise in the sense that, like, I love Lord of the Rings, and Lord of the Rings is cool and very much reminds me of that. It's not my personal style. Like, I wouldn't go back to it over and over again. There's no denying that the Zelda games are the best Nintendo cinematic video games that continue to be. It's a legend. He's one of the best Smash Brothers characters. You can have so many iterations from the Toon Links to the Breath of the Wild style to the old school, you know, 3D pixels. I understand why Link's your number one. I think for me, I like the world better than I like the character. And that's why he doesn't make my list.
And I think that's a really interesting point for a lot of people. I can totally see that. For me, Link is an avatar. But in the best way. We played a lot of video games, like Fable, for example, and a lot of different RPGs where, yeah, you're the character, but you kind of feel a disconnect to them. Link is one of these where he's not a creative character, but by the end of every single playthrough, you feel like you and him are connected in a certain way because you've gone through a 40-hour adventure together, and he's never said a word. And I think that's the beauty of Link, is he's the silent hero. He's what we all want to be. He's what every person in literature tries to make their character. And while all that is going on, there's an innocence to it. But there's also a lot of life lessons that Link brings that I don't think any other character in our list has brought. There's a lot of loss in Link. There's a lot of death in these games. And not every story is happy. And I think there's something to that. Maybe that's why it resonates with me from the age of 7 years old playing A Link to the Past to being 30 years old playing Breath of the Wild. You could find something in it, and you could find something in him. Because at the end of the day, we're all going through our own challenges. And I think that's why guys like Luke, characters like Luke Skywalker and Link have gone so far in pop culture, and why there's such a want for them in the mainstream.
I agree with everything you said. My only argument is I feel that about the games, and had this been a list about just video games, Ocarina of Time would have been one of my top three. And then when we're talking about just characters, Link doesn't do it for me, and maybe it's the fact that we're supposed to see ourselves in that character, so it's more of a personal journey, or the fact that he does change quite a bit. The aesthetic of him, the way he looks, the way he acts, his history, you know, technically the lore, quote unquote, is it's a different Link, part of the same genre of family, but it's a different Link reincarnated every time, which is very cool, but I think it makes the character harder to relate to.
But there is also kind of that cuteness of, that's why his name is Link, because we're a link to everything. You're linked into the mic that played Ocarina of Time is linked to the mic that played A Link to the Past, that's linked to the mic that played Breath of the Wild, and we're all different mics, just like we were all different Links, and I think that's kind of cool, and that's why, personally, and I know we're gushing over video games, but that's what's the beautiful thing about the Quarantine Files here on the Good Brothers, is that we can do what we want, but that's how important these characters are. You know, we're watching a lot of documentaries and a lot of different things. Athletes and creators find motivation in a lot of different places. And for me, I think Link has done that for a lot of people. But I'm interested, good brother. Who was your number one?
My number one is pretty obvious at this point. It's Donkey Kong. It's the Kong family. I'm going to just put Donkey Kong and Diddy in that spot because those two are bread and butter. The Kongs, like I said, we're kind of comparing these characters to movies. And, you know, you have your Mario, which is a nice, safe one. And you have your Link, which is very Lord of the Rings-esque. And you had Samus and Fox, very Star Wars-esque and space-esque. You know, Donkey Kong is almost, to me, is the Indiana Jones, where we love these fun, goofy characters. They're on these adventures in the desert and in the mine shafts and in the jungles and these Amazon settings. And he's got a family. He's got a nephew, and his nephew has friends. And he's got spirit animals, and they have their own form of guns and grenades, and they play musical instruments, and they have superpowers. They can drink potions, and Donkey Kong 64, non-biased, is my favorite video game of all time. It's one of the only games I've beaten completely, and I still play. It has five Kongs in it, and then his whole family that sells him stuff. King K. Rool is so awesome. I don't think it's like Ganon. We haven't seen a bad guy in a game we wanted so much. Even his henchmen are so fun with these alligators and these ducks that are big, beefy ducks with motorcycle vests. And rides a rhino, and his rhino turns him into also a shark at sometimes, or a swordfish case. And then you have his side character, which goes on to have his own racing game, which is arguably one of the top two racing games of all time. And I don't think there's really enough we can say. Donkey Kong is a charming character. He's a fun character. Gorillas are my favorite animals. No doubt Donkey Kong was my number one.
And it's funny, good brother, one of the things that I noticed while we were doing this list, bad guys are really important. And you and I being movie buffs and TV buffs, we know how important having a protagonist and antagonist are to your series thriving. Samus, Donkey Kong, Link, Mario, Kirby, Fox, they all have legendary bad guys. Ganon, Bowser, King Dedede, King K. Rool. Some of the most fun, dynamic, they all have the same trait, right? But Ganon is nothing like Bowser. Bowser's nothing like King Dedede. King Dedede, kind of a little bit like King K. Rool, but they're all a little different.
Yeah, more goofy and fun.
Yeah, but it's interesting, right, that all these great characters, bad guys have really put them and set them apart.
Exactly. And that's so important. I think we see it in any sort of thing, in any good movie, in any good superheroes. The bad guy needs to match. And like you said, every person on our list has a dynamic relationship with their bad person. And I think that does matter. So, because the hero's journey all matters on that. And I think on this list, Ganon is probably the most deadly, I would say, and most scary, very much like Link's always been the more mature one. And like you said, you have King Dedede, which, you know, and Bowser, I would say, are a little more goofy and fun. And you're not necessarily scared of them. but you understand they're the bad guys compared to Ridley and Ganon, which are, no, they're a little freaky too. And as children, they are meant to scare us a little more than the other two. Surprisingly, I'm surprised Bowser doesn't make our list. I'm sure he's probably one of our honorable mentions, but I think it's interesting that he didn't make this list, and not a lot of bad guys made the top five of this list.
I think a lot of it has to do with when you're speaking of Mushroom Kingdom characters compared to Nintendo characters, you're talking about such a deep list. That's the equivalent of guys who made X amount of movies instead of the comic books. Like, yeah, the comic books are just so many more characters that are obscure that we've never seen before in a movie compared to the Avengers that, yeah, everybody knows who Iron Man is, just like Mario. But once you start going down that little rabbit hole of some of the greatest Nintendo characters, some of the ones that we never brought up a Pokemon character. I mean, that's Nintendo proper. And that never even once came up on the list.
Obviously, I think Pokemon, we're going to save for a whole separate list. And I'm glad I didn't actually give you that rule. I'm glad it didn't work like that. But Pokemon will do its own list. Mushroom Kingdom, we might do its own list. But I think Nintendo's a fun way to start because it's a harder list to make, like you said. And did you have any honorable mentions? Like, who would have been your number six?
Oh, thank you for asking, good brother. As my honorable mention, I had Luigi. I think Luigi.
Okay, again, so you had someone character that was on our list.
Yeah, I had Luigi on that one. I want to give a little shout out to Toad. Toad is a very fun character, not necessarily really important, but he kind of is a very fun, cool, chic kind of character. It's also really kind of a inside joke for a lot of gamers, so a little bit more older and like adult content. So I think that's kind of like a cute little nod. But I would also say Bowser. I mean, Bowser is one of the greatest bad guys of all time, one of the coolest character designs of all time. And I actually think I prefer the old school looking, more fierce dragon looking Bowser. But I will always have love. One of my first little plushies during the whole Beanie Babies craze was a Nintendo 64, Super Mario 64 version of Bowser. So I love that blocky, you know, 3D version, polygon version of Bowser. So I would have him as my official honorable mention.
That's funny you say that, because I actually put Bowser Jr. as mine. And he was the main bad guy in Mario Sunshine, obviously. And he has the power to change it to Evil Mario. He's cute. I like that in Smash Brothers, the Koopa Kids kind of come in as a package and they have the same moves that you can change. He's the only rightful heir to Bowser's kingdom and throne. We find out the Koopa Kids are actually just lackeys, and Bowser Jr. is the actual child of Bowser, which there's something cute about him. There's something fun. He's Yoshi's main bad guy in those games and the newest one. So I don't know. He almost made the list. But again, like you said, I think we try to see more of the heroes when you make the top five compared to a top 10.
Good brother, this has been a fun list. I could talk Super Nintendo, I could talk video games, I could talk favorite characters all day. Hell, that's why we have a show all about stuff like that. But good brother, let's go ahead and run down these bad boys. I will start off with my number five. I had Mario. The good brother had
Star Fox.
And at number four, I had Fox McCloud. The good brother had
Luigi.
At number three, I had Donkey Kong. The good brother had
Kirby.
At number two, I had Samus Aran. The good brother had
Yoshi.
And at number one, I had Link.
I had Donkey Kong and his crew.
And that was our top five Nintendo characters here on the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves Network. Good brother, what did you think about this list? A lot of fun going back, having some nostalgia, talking about this. I actually got through playing Super Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild a little recently ago during this past Christmas season. So that love is flowing through my heart. What did you think about picking up the old Super Nintendo controllers and going back in time?
I think that's the reason we even did this list, is because our whole network does a lot of video games, which is run by you, because I don't play a lot of modern video games, except for Mario. And it might be the nostalgia. It might just be I'm a Nintendo shell, which I am. There's just something about this whole universe and world that I love and continue to love as an adult. And it's something you never grow out of, because Nintendo, there's a reason it's lasted a test of time and companies like Sega haven't. It's because they put so much into these characters and some getting them out of their comfort zone, whether it's a Mario Soccer or baseball or party or Smash Brothers, or it's Link always changing its style, or it's Metroid going away and coming back, or Kirby becoming Yarn, or Yoshi becoming Yarn, or, you know, Donkey Kong having his own adventures, then coming into a Mario game. There's something so extravagant about it, yet so simple about the actual characters.
I totally agree, and I think it's why it is a timeless company. It is a company that they never will have to be the number one best-selling console ever again because they have the number one IPs of all of them, unless it's Grand Theft Auto. But that is just goes to show the strength that even in the most cynical of worlds, even in all this time, 40 years later, they're still selling out machines, they're still selling out games, and people are still craving for more and more Mario content, Nintendo content, and it is a lot of fun, good brother, to be in the middle of it. And it's been a lot of fun doing this list with you, good brother. And anybody who would like to see any past one of our quarantine files, make sure you guys are following us wherever you get your favorite podcast. Please like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. We're also on YouTube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. And come play video games with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. You can follow the good brother himself on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. Make sure you guys like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves as well. Good brother, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
Thank you everybody so much. Please take care of each other. We will see you on the next episode of the Quarantine Files for the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of the Quarantine Files brought to you by the good brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves
Network.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.